I want to go ahead and make my most important point here at the beginning. I don't want to sound alarmist, but we are losing our four-part harmony heritage. We're losing it. And that's sad. That is so sad. Because it is so beautiful. It is part of the characteristic that makes us who we are. And Sharon and I have been blessed to travel a lot. This past Sunday was our 30th anniversary. We came to the very first soul winning workshop. We came to the second one, and we've been to most of them. It's a blessing. And one of the things that I enjoy the most about the workshop is the singing, the participation, the great dynamic. It's just a foretaste of heaven to hear this great singing. And being able to visit different seminars and workshops and conventions, it's a blessing to get to hear people outside of our fellowship speak and experience what we have. And almost without fail, without an exception, when they hear our singing, they go nuts. I remember at a Zoe conference just a couple years ago, one of the speakers had not been around the Church of Christ folks, and he heard the singing, and he said, "Wow, how do you do this? Don't ever lose this, he called it a tribal language, you know." He said, "This is so beautiful. I wish we could." They are envious. They wish they could adopt that and take it to their groups. And of course they can, but it takes work. It takes education. It takes commitment. It takes a desire. And they're just totally blown away by our a cappella four-part harmony singing. And they say, "Don't ever lose it." And the sad thing to me is, as I travel the country, we are losing it. Because it won't just continue on from generation to generation unless we pass it on. Now, when I grew up in West Tennessee, the congregation that I was a part of would bring in, I remember Ralph Casey out of Georgia came in and had a seminar teaching music fundamentals and congregational singing, and that happened several times. Then we had singing groups among our there within the congregation. We had all kinds of singing opportunities where we taught it as part of the youth curriculum. As we taught people, not only the whole church, but the youth, all the young people learned about that. And so it was no surprise that the public schools, the music teachers who taught chorus or band, when they would teach chorus, they said, "Well, I want to get those Church of Christ kids, because they already have the ear. They're used to singing alto and tenor and bass. They have the ear. They can sing parts. They're already familiar with this four-part harmony. And it's just like breathing to them." And it's not happening now. And we have to make a choice of if, is that important to us? Is that something we want to continue? Now, let me say here, do we have to have four-part harmony to be pleasing to God? No. I mean, God, He wants our heart. He wants us to worship with all of our all that we have. But I would make the argument that if we can make it excellent, whatever we define as excellent, even if it takes work, then I think whatever offering we bring to God should be the best that we can offer. And if you think, as I do, that four-part harmony is better than just everybody singing in a low monotone, then it's worth the extra work to try to restore four-part harmony singing. And I don't want to be trite with our heritage, because I love the restoration and what it's about. But I've been using that term to say we need to restore four-part harmony. This is another restoration movement, and I hope... do I hear an amen on this? Amen. All right, good, good. It's gonna change if we educate, if we train, if we do the things that we need to do. James Tackett is working with the singing school at Abilene. It's in the summer. There are not enough schools and camps and training seminars for worship leaders and singers. We're catching on now, and Christian colleges are now starting to add curriculum for worship ministers, and we're coming on maybe slower than we should. But it's going to take an effort and an emphasis.